was brought up there, went to school in Dalhousie School, and we had to walk 3 miles to school. We had to cross the, there was a swing bridge across the river at that time, so we could cross the river, walk across the fields to the other side of the glen, and then walk up. And sometimes we'd take a shortcut up the river, you know, if it wasn't in flood. But it was a swing bridge, you know, it was really quite fun. Mm. And it was washed away in 1956, the year we were married.
And your father had always been a gamekeeper?
He was a gamekeeper, yes. He met my mother, well, he was lived near Comrie at the time, at Glenartney. And she was teacher in Glenartney School. So that's where they met up, you know, and got married, and then came up to... I've got some photographs, you know, nice photographs taken, you know, having picnics and things like that, you know. And we had a good life. I mean, it was...
What sort of conditions were in the... I mean, it was a better house you went to at Clun than the first one.
But, oh, yeah.
I mean, what heating did you have?
We had, a solid fuel range in the sort of big kitchen.
Mm.
And as far as heating went, I don't ever remember there being any electric fires or anything like that. You know, we had oil heaters and Primus stoves and things like that. But I always remember my bedroom. Well, there were so many bedrooms, we could probably change a bedroom every time we got fed up, you know. Probably about 6, 7, maybe, with dressing rooms, you know. But in the morning when you'd wake up in the winter time, you know, the windows would be covered with frost, so they were absolutely freezing.
And then, who lived there before your father?
A big house. I think there was a keeper there before him. Can't remember his name. Must have moved away, I think, when my father took over. And of course there was a big lodge, you know, the new lodge, you know, the Clun Lodge itself, which had been built just before the war, I think. And most of the winter, of course, there was nobody. It was empty. But then in the summertime, the people used to come. It belonged to a Captain Reed Walker at the time, who was quite a wealthy man, I think. And he and his wife used to come up, and all the retinue, all the servants, during the season time. So it was quite a change for us then, you know, all these people suddenly arriving,
yes,
with strange accents. And
so the your father worked for these people?
He was a gamekeeper.
On their estate?
He was a keeper, and he was very good at his work, you know. He was, but it must have been a hard life for him, you know, just to... We had to get a housekeeper, of course, you know, to look after a growing family.
Yes, he never remarried.
He never remarried, you know, but we had lots of... we had the farm next door, and the lovely lady and her husband. He was an invalid, I think he had MS, so he died fairly young, really, without him, like an old man to us. And actually, Sheila's sister, Margaret, married John, who's the eldest son. We had a family connection there as well. And we used to go to school, all go to school together. Sometimes we used to get a lift up from the roadmen, which was quite nice. Because it was a long way for little legs, you know. I was 5 years old at the time.
And a long way to walk to school.
And I remember my sister and the other girls dragging me along. I think I just would have been too tired to walk, you know, or just decided to sit down in the middle of the road, so they were hauling me along.
And Alec too later.
And Alec too,
yes.
Didn't always appear to give us a lift, but nice when they did.
Yes, especially in the winter, I would
think.
That
was Tommy Fraser, and he was a road man, he was a coal man, he was a delivery man. I think he had a lot of, caps to wear. It was just the start of the war when I started school in Dalhousie, and we weren't affected very, very badly by it. I remember the evacuees from Edinburgh were there at the time when I said so.
Well, where did they stay? Where did they put those people?
They stayed at some of the lodges round about. Oh. You know, I think some of them were billeted at Glenmarsden, probably in the bodies, you know. And
they'd have teachers with them to look after them?
There was an extra teacher then and he must have been a supply teacher, you know, to came along to help, because the teacher was Mrs. MacDonald, lovely lady, and she was an aunt of John Cameron McIntosh. But I suppose she needed a bit of help in those days.
How many children were there?
See, probably 15 to 20 at that time. So quite a big influx of evacuees from the cities. But they didn't stay very long because the mothers didn't like it very much. I think they found it too quiet, so the cities eventually.
Yes.
I remember one family, they were called Kings. And I thought, it must be royalty, you know, and I was very impressed by them. I think they were really quite hard up for souls. But I remember she had another teacher then, and he used to help me tie my... My father used to make little... Because you'd have to walk through the snow, and he used to make little gaiters, and he used to button them up for me, because I wasn't big enough to do that.
Yes. Yes, keep the snow off your legs. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we had a fire, you know, we had a fire in the school. Didn't have to bring a peat. I'm not really sure where we got the fuel from. But
no, someone must have provided it.
Has to be provided.
Did you have anything to eat at school during the day?
Well, we did take a lunch with us. We'd take a piece. You know. And I always remember my father kept bees. So quite often it was honey we had, you know, bread and butter and honey, which sounded nice, but the honey always... got quite, because it was beeswax in the honey, you know, it used to get quite crispy by the time you went to school. And we used to have to make jam for the war effort, bring fruit to school.
Yes.
And they got supplied with the sugar and we made jam. But we'd take it home with us and we'd probably eat most of it before we get...
Yes. What sort of fruit? Did you have a fruit garden there?
I mean, we had strawberries and we had blackcurrants and we had, you know, whatever you had, I think, you know. And then we had to knit. We learned to knit, you know, and we had to knit socks and things. We were never very good at that, but we did our best. She was an amazing person, really, because, you know, it must have been quite difficult to cover all the subjects, that she had to teach us, you know, needlework and quite a wide range, yes. I remember the inspector used to come every now and again, you know, and inspect our work. And I remember doing an apron, and it had something written on it, be thrifty and thrive. And then he asked me what thrifty meant, and I hadn't a clue. That's what I'm telling off after he went.
How old were you?
I thought you would have known about that. I'd probably be about, I don't know, 10, so 9, 10, something like that. We used to get visits from the nurse, you know, and the dentist, which was a pretty horrendous, yes. Yeah. We saw the nurse coming. She went out and turned her car at the church gate and came back. And somebody had told us that if you cleaned your teeth with soot, you had it give you a gleaming smile. So we used to dash to the fireplace and dip our fingers in soot and scrub. We must have met her with beaming black smiles. I think.
Blackly.
There's the nurse, you know, there's the district nurse. There we had a lot of fun. She was quite good with us, really. So we got the strap if we didn't behave. I remember getting it once. I think it was the only time I ever got it, really. She had this strap hanging over her desk. And I remember one day, John McPherson had decided to get rid of it. And there was a sort of little round attic in it, and he threw it up, and it went into the attic. So when she came back and noticed the strap was missing, we thought, oh, this is fine, you know. She said, all right, children, I've got one twice as big. Take it tomorrow. She probably supplied it again, I can't remember that, but probably that strap's still up in the attic.
No one would have rescued it.
Could have done. Well, probably, yeah, they've altered the house now. It's, the school is a dwelling house.
The school is a house.
But I remember once, and the boys' playground, the girls' playground were separated, although we didn't. You know, we could use either, really. We played together. Most of the time we played in the wood because it was more fun. But this day I'd been quite adventurous and decided to walk along the top of the the wall between them, and so she caught me doing it, and I got quite a ticking off, you know. And then the next pre-time I went out and I did the same thing again, she caught me again. So that was definitely a candidate for the belt that day. Got the strap. So I didn't forget the lesson anyway.
What sort of lessons did you get? I mean, did you get any kind of books with pictures in or anything like that?
When we went first, and probably with the war and one thing and another, they weren't supplied with much equipment, and a lot of the books were Victorian, you know, really. Mm. And we got some slates, the slate pencils, which were great fun, you know, squeaky slates. And that didn't last long. We got exercise books after that, and dip pens and things. And we got copy books, and whether these were left over from Victoria, I don't know, but we had to follow the copy.
The cursive writing.
Writing. So, yes. So I think we all learned to write in a fairly good longhand, you know.
Lots of practice.
But the only trouble was I was left-handed, and I also used to get the ruler over my knuckles if I didn't use my right hand. And of course I couldn't write properly with my right hand, so every time my back was turned I used to use my left hand. And she always knew. So I got into trouble for that.
Oh dear.
I sort of got a little bit ambidextrous, but I still...
Yes.
Still prefer to use my left hand.
Of course.
But in those days, I don't know, we just didn't realise. There have been, you know, huge maps all over the place with the British Empire all, you know, coloured in red, and mostly pink or red at that time. And then we had, with it being the wartime, we got all those posters with pictures of bombs and incendiaries and things like that, all had to get put up as well.
Yes.
So we thought we found one in the school playground at one time. It turned out it was just, I think it was a marble top of a, it was a round sort of circular thing. I don't know where it came from, but it was like I think it must have come from the churchyard, and it was a coloured round marble ball.
Perhaps it was off a gate post.
You got the bus driver, who was an ex-policeman, to inspect it just to be in the safe side.
Yes.
He would know. But, and we were told if, if an aircraft came over, it could be an enemy aircraft, you know, so we had to lie down in the ditch and hide, you know, which wasn't a good thing to tell.
To tell children.
Quite often, if you did hear something, we dived into the ditch and ended up very muddy. But apart from that, didn't affect us too much.
Did you have to learn endless tables?
Yes.
Multiplication.
Yes, multiplication tables. In sort of parrot farm form. And we had spellings, reams of spelling to learn every night. You know, there was a spelling book and there was about four columns. You know, it was about six spellings in each column. We had to be perfect and move the tempo. But it's always made me a very good speller.
Yes, it's a training, isn't it? Yes.
Never much good at arithmetic, I don't know why, because I don't think she was very good at arithmetic. She wasn't very good at putting it over, really. So when I went to Inverness School, I found that a bit of a struggle to catch. I never had a lot of confidence in myself, you know. I scraped through my lower maths, but that was about it, you know.